Welcome to Heart of the Psalmist, cultivating the heart of creatives. Now, your host, Sharvis Whitted.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of Heart of the Psalmist. I am your host, Sharvis Whitted, and this is the show where we're asking God to create in us clean hearts so that we can create for Him. Appreciate you stopping by for today's conversation. And I can't believe it. This is episode 18. We're in season 2, as you know, but overall, this is episode 18. We're inching closer to 20 episodes, which I'm actually pretty excited about. A lot goes into podcasting. You have to come up with the show topics, you got to record, you got to edit. And for this show, I do all of that myself at this point. My brother manages the website and gets everything posted on Stitcher and iTunes, but I do everything else. So I'm pretty pumped that we're almost at 20 episodes. I thank God for that. And, you know, speaking of my brother, if anyone listening is in need of graphic design, a website, anything in that arena, I would highly recommend my brother to you. He's highly experienced, a master's degree in graphic design. He's been working in that field 10 plus years. He does a great job for me, and I'm confident he could do the same for you. You can find him at sharv.in. Yes, our names are very close, so if you are thinking about it, yes, we're twins. So check him out. I'm quite sure that he would do a good job for you. Okay, let's go ahead and jump into today's topic. And the title of this show is Aiming for Edification. Aiming for Edification. And the emphasis is how we use our creative gifts in corporate worship so that the congregants are edified, not entertained, but edified. So let's jump into this topic. So I want to begin by sharing with you two moments in corporate worship I was a part of several years ago that taught me why it's crucial to aim for edification. You have to be very intentional about it. So the first happened in 2008, and this one involved me. So I was serving at a church in North Florida. I was the minister of music. And this was during a particular worship service. Worship was high. In that moment, people were freely worshiping, and we weren't playing any music. And so, in typical fashion, like I always did, I started playing some worship music, nothing too loud or disruptive. And then our senior pastor walked over to me and said, "Let's not play right now. The people are worshiping. Let's not interrupt them." And that was the first. So in other words, he was saying my playing at that particular moment was hindering edification. It really was. Let me give you one more example at that same ministry. This involved one of my drummers. So my drummer at the time was the picture of dedication. I mean, he would come up to the church 3 to 4 times a week, work on his chops. It's a beautiful thing to witness. You want that kind of commitment from your musicians. And during a particular service, again, worship and praise was breaking out. Things were high. And then at a certain moment in the song, he tried to insert a drum roll that he'd been practicing. I knew he'd been practicing it because I would hear him in the sanctuary. And let's just say it didn't work well, but not because he didn't land it or that he had ill intention, but because it wasn't right for that moment. His drum fill was hindering edification. And both of those experiences taught me the importance of aiming for edification in corporate worship. Both the drummer and I meant well. We did. But had we paid closer attention, we would have realized that those particular moments didn't need what we were trying to add. I didn't need to play. He just needed to stay in the pocket and play the groove. Believe it or not, musicians, sometimes the best thing that you can do in corporate worship is do less. Amen. Okay, so let's progress. I want to start by defining edification. The word literally means building up, the act of bringing something closer to its fullness or completion. A good way to understand this is it is assisting in the construction of an incomplete building. Think of construction. In the New Testament, the Greek word used by writers is oikodemen, oikodemen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul, while instructing the Corinthian church on proper use of gifts in corporate worship, uses that particular word in its various forms about 6 times. So it's safe to say that edification is very important to keep in mind in a corporate worship context. Edification is the goal in corporate worship, according to Scripture. Colossians 2:7 reminds us that people need to be established in the faith. And according to Ephesians 4:13, they need to attain to the unity of faith and knowledge, maturity, and the full measure of Christ. It's one of the reasons spiritual gifts are given to the church. Edification is the special responsibility of various church leaders, and it's the legitimate context for the exercise of their authority. They are given authority not to rule people's lives in every way, but to make sure that church is structured in such a way that people are being edified, they're becoming stronger in the faith, and they are maturing in Christ. And it's not just leaders that are responsible for this. All Christians, including musicians and singers, are responsible for the work of building up the believer. Listen to what 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. That word build is the same Greek word that is translated edification in 1 Corinthians 14. Scripture also teaches that all elements of Christian worship should contribute to edification. Listen to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 14:26. What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for, here's the word again, edification. Now, did you catch that? He mentioned that each one has a psalm. So yes, even singing, playing instruments must be aimed at edification, not entertainment, but edification in the context of corporate worship. So what I want to do is to flow right out of that and to give you tips, all rooted in Scripture, that will teach you how to keep all of your creative efforts in corporate worship aimed at edifying the believers there. Okay, here's tip number one. Keep the goal of corporate worship as defined in Scripture in mind. Keep the goal of corporate worship as defined in Scripture in mind. It's easy to get lost if you forget where you're going. I remember when I was in college, encounter people who have been in college for 8 years, and here's what happened. They went there and college became something else. It became about the social life. It became about a fraternity, a sorority. And now the purpose of going to college is lost. They forgot where they were going. And that can happen in corporate worship. So that's why I want to emphasize for the first tip, you have to keep the goal of corporate worship as defined in Scripture in mind. Notice I said, as defined in Scripture, not what the culture tells us, nor what popular church culture tells us. What does Scripture say the goal of corporate worship is? It's very clear. It is to edify the believer. Always remember, my fellow creatives, 1 Corinthians 14:26. Let all things be done for edification. Being creative or demonstrating your depth of skill isn't the goal. And there's nothing wrong with skill. There's nothing wrong with creativity, but that's not the goal of corporate worship. We want corporate worship to help establish people in the faith and mature them in Christ. So that's tip number one. Keep the primary goal of corporate worship as defined in Scripture in the forefront of your mind. Let's move on to tip number 2. Remember that God causes the growth, not you. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Listen, no matter how creative and enthusiastic you are, remember that it is God that ultimately produces edification. That's important. We are vessels that the Holy Spirit dwells in and works through. Keeping this in mind will keep you from doing too much in corporate worship. And I think we all have seen this happen with musicians and singers. We genuinely get excited, we get caught up, and sometimes that's needed, but then there are times where we do too much and we get so lost in how we're feeling personally that we forget the goal of edifying others, and people get lost, they can't follow us, and now they can't even participate in the song that we're singing because we've forgotten about them. You know, and sometimes we can even manufacture a response from people so that we can feel good about what we've done that day through our creativity. But that's not the goal of corporate worship. Let's not try to force edification, to force a response out of the people to make ourselves feel good. You just lay the seed, let another man water it, but trust that God will produce the fruit, that he will edify the people, he will cause them to grow and mature in the faith and mature in Christ. All right, that's tip 2. Let's move on to tip number 3. Do your part. Do your part. And the key word is part. Paul, and we're still in 1 Corinthians, he describes the church as a body with each believer playing a part in corporate edification. You can find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, he used the Greek word melos, and it's translated member in some translations. Some say part. And he is referring to a part of the body. So just as no individual part of the human body can do it all and cause the whole body to function by itself, neither can you with your gift or your ability. Don't feel like you have to get the congregation to the finish line every time you're leading worship. Don't quench the spirit or prolong things because you feel like you have to get the people to a certain point. You know, I've learned over the years that sometimes it's best, the most edifying thing you can do is to just sing the song, stick to the sequence, and when it's over, end it, and then pass the baton on to the next person. Let another part in the body contribute to the corporate worship context. And that can be a tough one, but it's important to do. And it takes, over time, discernment to know when you need to push in and do more, and when you need to back off. That sounds like a good podcast show I could do later. That's a good idea. All right, let me move on to tip number 4. And this is the last one, and I think it is the most important because it is what everything we do in corporate worship has to be anchored in. Pursue love. Paul described love as the chief thing we should pursue. This is found in 1 Corinthians 13 and 14. If we are gifted, creative, awesome singers, but we lack love, it benefits us nothing. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. And then when you get to the 4th verse in that chapter in 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us what love looks like. Starting at verse 4, he says, love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth. Verse 7, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, when I read that in preparation for this episode, what stuck out to me was the selflessness of love, of agape, the love of God. That's the word that Paul uses here for love, agape. Aiming for edification is easy when it's anchored in agape love. Paul says in Romans chapter 5 that God has poured his love into our hearts in the Holy Spirit. His love is there, and our minds have to be renewed so that we can learn how to operate in his love. And when your service in corporate worship is anchored in the love of God, being selfless is second nature. And see, once you are flowing from the love of God, all these things we've been talking about today, these tips, they become easy. Become second nature to keep the goal of corporate worship in mind because you want to edify others. It's easy to remember that God causes the growth because that's what you want to see. You want to see people grow, and you're okay with not trying to do more so that you can feel better about what happened in corporate worship. It's easy to just do your part and allow other members in corporate worship, other people who are there, to have time to contribute because you're not stuck on yourself. So this is why Paul tells us, if you go to 1 Corinthians 14:1, that we should pursue love. We should earnestly desire gifts, but we really need to pursue love. At the beginning of chapter 13, he called it the more excellent way, love. So make sure that all of your efforts in corporate worship, they begin with a sincere love for God that fills your heart and then impacts the way that you treat people. And if you're flowing from the love of God, edification will be second nature. Well, listeners, that's all for today's show. I appreciate you stopping by. And hey, if you want to keep up with me, my website is back2worship.com. There you can learn a lot about me, and that website can get you to all of my social media accounts, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Well, until next time, God bless you. And as you continue to serve in your local congregation, remember that all that you do be anchored in love and aimed at edification. Desire to see people established in the faith and maturing in Christ. Take care. God bless you. And we'll talk to you soon.